I wish you a wonderful good morning. Nice to have you with us again. And yeah, this beautiful weather that we have right now. Yesterday I saw that the weather forecast says that from tomorrow on, sun comes again. So this is a very good hope that we have, but it even gets better. So let us pray. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for this wonderful morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for everyone that is listening, that takes the time to hear and listens to your voice. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here right now and that you are ready to teach us. Help us to be ready to receive everything that you have for us. Amen. Maybe you experienced it already. You invited somebody. Maybe you invited a friend, or you invited the Familienkreis, or your small group to your home. And after everybody left, you talked to the members of your family or to your spouse, and your perception of how the evening was is sometimes so different. The one might say, oh, it was a wonderful evening. How wonderful people we have in our Familienkreis. And how interesting was that little testimony that person told. And do you remember that little gift the one person even brought? They are so thankful. They are so wonderful. And that word that one, the one member said, it encouraged me so much. And it's so interesting how that person developed over the time. And that little prayer was so strong in the end. And the other person might experience it maybe a whole different way. One might say, oh, the little gift, it was so, appreciation was so exaggerated. And in the end, I even was asked to help to clean up the table, although I prepared it all. And the little testimony that said it was really... they just wanted to show themselves how they are wonderful. And sometimes we have such a different appreciation, and they not even said thank you in the end. So why am I doing it all? And sometimes I was so shocked talking to somebody, maybe after a service, after you invited some people, how the other person perceived it. How they felt. Sometimes it was so different for me than for the other person. And sometimes if you invite somebody and you were not happy with everything, how it went, the motivation maybe would have so been different if this would be your future parents-in-law, or a famous superstar, or even Jesus himself, a figure of the Bible. Your motivation maybe would have been so different. And exactly that story we want to look at this morning. You can open your Bible with me to Luke chapter 10, where we'll find a very, very interesting story that often was a bit hard for me, because I did not understand why Jesus reacted in seemingly such a harsh and interesting way. I thought this was so unclear to me, because Jesus seems to have no interest, no appreciation, or no praise for all of Martha's efforts. And but Jesus loves Martha way too much to leave her, to confirm her in her false hopes. And we want to read the story in Luke 10, and I start from the verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listened to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So Martha was the one The text says it was her home, so maybe she was the oldest of the sisters, Lazarus and also Mary. And she was in charge like of everything. She invited Jesus and she prepared it all. And now we see her being the only one, maybe, that served. So she was running between kitchen and table. She was running all the time. And maybe she missed out on much of what Jesus said. Not only because she ran to another room to pick something up, but also because her heart was not prepared and was not open for all that Jesus said. And it's so interesting how Jesus did not put her in the midst to honor her. Because I think this was really the thing that Martha was looking for, that Jesus said in the end, "Martha, now come please, stand here in the midst. How much did you work tonight? Wow, it's so amazing how you serve us this night." I think this was really what she was looking for. It was not that Jesus was unthankful and that Jesus did not care about her. But I think that in the end of the evening, when everybody went home again, and when Martha and Mary were the only ones, maybe Lazarus also, maybe he already slept, when they were talking, their perception about how the evening was, definitely, was so different. Martha was not amused, certainly, with what Jesus said. She was not amused how everything went. I do not think that she could enjoy the evening. Although Jesus himself came to her house and she had the honor to have him at his house. Jesus could have went to a better hotel that night, but he decided to go to that house. But for Mary, it was maybe one of the best nights she ever had. Sitting down at the feet of Jesus, receiving every single word that he spoke. And maybe Mary was changed completely in those minutes. But Martha was loaded with so much care and worry. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things." So how could it be that Martha could not have enjoyed it? And this little passage does not want to say that it's better to be passive than to be active. No, no, no. In the verses before, we read about the Good Samaritan, and the last thing Jesus says is, in verse 37, is, "Go and do likewise." So Jesus is not against doing, but he has another thing here in mind that he wants to teach that we later on see. And he's also not intending to tell us there are some unspiritual people and they should serve in the kitchen, and there are some spiritual people and we are all the spiritual, we have a higher calling and we should not serve in the kitchen. That's not the message Jesus wants to bring to us. And it's also not about it's bad that we care for others. Because Martha, she was the eldest and it was her house, and we should not have the attitude that everything falls down from heaven. No, from little child on, we teach our children to help in the house and to also help in the kitchen, to teach them. It's not normal just to sit down at a table and everything is prepared for me. No, there needs to be a preparation, and that is good. But Jesus wants to tell us a secret. A secret that we oftentimes do not understand. And I imagine that Martha, in the end of the night, she was disappointed with Jesus. She did not feel loved, not feel respected. She was not feeling that Jesus saw how she felt. And maybe she was disappointed because she put all her hopes in God, she thought. But Jesus speaks seemingly reproachfully, unlovingly, and as if he would be satisfied with nothing, to bring about a message and tell her a secret. And the secret we also find in Colossians 1:27, where we find for me, one of the most precious verses in the whole New Testament that often it's still a mystery and a secret for us. Because it was a secret for Martha. She did not know that mystery. And the question for me is today, what drives me? Which hope do I have that makes me to be motivated? Is it to receive honor, compassion, and affirmation from people? Or is it more that I have, like the Jesus style, that I have the desire to serve selflessly and cheerfully? Because like when Martha and Mary, the point where I get most excited, or like Martha, most frustrated and disappointed, this is oftentimes the area where I realize this is where I really put my hope. Because sometimes in prayer we have such a nice language, but oftentimes this has nothing to do with reality and with truth in my heart. And so the question is really, what is really the hope that I have in my heart? Is it really the hope that I find in the Bible? Or is it more the hope that that is produced by my desires and my needs that I have emotionally? And we find in Colossians 1:27 a very precious verse. To them God has chosen, and I hope also to me, God has chosen to make it known among the Gentiles and also among us the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That verse means, because it's a bit, the words are maybe a bit difficult and hard to receive, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the hope I have, is it the glory that Christ is in me and that Christ is expressed through me? So do I have the hope to receive honor from people, or is my hope that today I hope that I can live out Jesus? Is this my hope? What is my motivation for the day? That everything goes fine, that I feel welcomed, that I feel helped, that I feel nice today? I feel encouraged by others, that I feel I have a wonderful weather and a nice sun to make me feel warm? Or is it the most basic motivation that we should have? It is that Jesus might be visible in me for others. And that means that I have the desire that Jesus more and more takes over in my heart. That really my hope is the character, living the character of Jesus. And not just getting fulfilled what I like. And this is so, so interesting. And we see it oftentimes that Jesus seems to be over demanding to people and also to Martha. Martha maybe said, what more should I do? I should serve here all the time. And then Jesus says, not only serving is good, but now sit down all the time. Yeah, who then should do the work, Jesus? Sometimes we could have a feeling that God is demanding too much of us. Not only serving, but serving with joy. Who can do this? And Jesus also in the Sermon on the Mount is presenting us a lifestyle that we are not able to do. And just recently I read a very, very unhelpful article about somebody who was a professor and a PhD in theology, and everything he could say about the Sermon on the Mount is, okay, we cannot throw it away because Jesus said it. But I mean, if you think one second, we are not able to love our enemies, to do all this stuff, to be perfect, as Jesus said, because all we know we are sinful people and we cannot throw it away. We cannot really do it. So let us be thankful about forgiveness and let us try hard. And I thought, how could that be that we lack such an understanding about the gospel? About a professor and PhD in theology, I think he did not understand the gospel. Because we see Jesus presenting us something that we cannot do. And the whole Old Testament was about, as Pastor said it recently, it's a law that we could not even do. So Jesus is not shocked by us feeling overwhelmed and that it seems over demanding. But Jesus loves Martha too much, and Jesus loves you too much as to confirm you in false hopes, false selfish hopes. And we find that Jesus, and this is, I think, the most important thing that we can learn here from Jesus, is that there is an order. First comes the writing, and then comes the doing. First comes the learning, and then comes the doing. And this is so important for Jesus, because Jesus says, Mary did everything right. Because you could think that Martha comes up and said, she is acting like a spiritual baby. And Jesus would have replied, yes, that's true. Mary just sits down and does nothing. Just receiving. But Martha, you have not even been born. Because you have no clue and no idea about meeting me. Have an encounter with me, getting prepared and allowing the Holy Spirit to write His law on my heart. And that's the only way how to act right, is being prepared right. In Hebrews 8, we read it in such a wonderful way, that it's God's will that He writes His law on my heart. And without the Holy Spirit writing His law on my heart, I am not prepared, and I should not begin to serve, because I will do it out of a selfish motive. And in the end, Martha thought, I was the one serving all the time. It was just me that God gave. And she said, no. You only gave to receive honor. And Mary, she did not give anything. But she was receiving and allowing that the Holy Spirit prepares her heart so that she would be able to serve without selfish motives. I think Martha only served to be served, because she was so frustrated that she was not receiving enough, that she was not happy with serving. How beautiful it is if we read the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus says that we are happy if people treat us wrong. We are happy to be envied. We are blessed if our enemies hate us, and we have the chance to learn what it means to love our enemies. And sometimes our enemies sit in our family, or maybe sit right beside you on your workplace. And so we have the chance to really check ourselves. Did I put my hope really on today showing God's character, serving in the Jesus style, selflessly and with joy? Or am I so focused and so used to have my hope put on people giving me love and appreciation? And the third thing we learn is that the calling is not just serving, the call is reflecting and shining. We see here Jesus not even saying thank you to Martha, although she worked so hard. So we learn Jesus is not only satisfied with us serving faithfully. That's not what he's looking for in the first place. But with us meeting him and reflecting his image. And we see that in the old covenant, we had many commandments we could not even do. But in the new covenant, the main goal is not just serving, it's not just the doing, but in the gospel, we received access through forgiveness. And that's not the whole story. Forgiveness, please understand that, is not the whole story. But
forgiveness opens the door that we have access into God's presence. And in God's presence, we are changed. In God's presence, He writes His laws on my heart. The law that I could not do without the writing of the Holy Spirit. And if we miss out that moment and that aspect that the Holy Spirit changes my heart, it remains a secret, as Colossians 1 said. It's a secret. As for Martha, it was a secret how I could serve and still have joy. Although my selfish needs are not met by people or even by Jesus. It's so, so important to understand the gospel, that through forgiveness, though all doors were opened, that I have access, that I can have fellowship with God Himself. And that in that fellowship, the Holy Spirit writes His law on my heart, gives me a willingness and the power to live like Jesus did. And that's my calling. Our highest calling is not just receiving love. No, it's becoming love and showing love. And we have been made able because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and because every day, every morning, we have the privilege inviting the Holy Spirit that He writes His law, His character, His mindset, His joy, and His power on my heart. And how wonderful is it that this hope of the gospel, the hope of the glory of God, is made reality more and more in my life. And sometimes we have the mindset of the Old Testament that we think we should become a little bit better, and God is so faithful, hallelujah, that He waits until we become a little bit better, and then we have access to Him. No, that's completely not the gospel. The gospel is God opens the door in the moment where I'm a sinner, when I am not able to do it right, and He receives me in order to change me. So I'm not, God does not wait for me that I change myself. No, He invites me into His presence because He knows in my presence, my child, that's the place where you are changed. That's the place where I can work on your heart, not just on your deeds, how you perform, but on your heart, on your motivation, so that in the end you can shine like Jesus. And that's my prayer, that this is our real hope. And I pray that the Holy Spirit really changes our heart this morning, writes His law on our hearts. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your wonderful word. And sometimes we feel overwhelmed and over demanded by your commandments and even by your word. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us that it's so precious that we kneel down in your presence, and that we wait, that we hear your voice, and that we wait, that your law is written on my heart, so that I am made able to face all the challenges that are awaiting for us this day. And I hope and I pray, Holy Spirit, make your desires deep in our heart, that we have really desire to love, the desire to love with joy. And we do not need a thank you, that we do not need honor from people, that we do not need the appreciation from others, that but because our heart is so focused and fixed, and that our desire is so much on you, that you write your law on our hearts this day. Amen.